Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Glad to have the intellectual outcast out there listening today. We have a returning guest who needs no introduction. 2 years ago, he had the top show on the Mental Dialogue podcast. Brother Shelly Winters, thank you, King, for being with us this morning. Always appreciate any time you grace us with your presence. As we have these hard conversations on race, sex, and culture is what we're known for here on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We're glad to have you on this morning. If you will, say hello to the intellectual outcast out there listening. Give a little bit of your background. And again, thank you for doing this with me one more again, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Montoya, my brother, from another mother. my name is Shelly Winter. I am a host of the Shelly Winter Show on 95.5 WSB, 7 to 10 p.m. every weeknight, Monday through Friday. And just extra information, this week I'll be on filling in from 9 to noon, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And a dream come true of mine, I hope you all can tune in wherever you are at WSB Radio. I'll be filling in from 12 to 3 p.m. for Eric Erickson on his syndicated show. So I'll be national for the first time in my life. So feels good.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm going to definitely try to tune into that. And some a lot of y'all actually know Shelly out there, a lot of you listeners, but if you don't, this brother is born to do this. He's somebody that I admire. So if I can say that live on the air to my listeners, learn a lot from you when it comes to being in this space. And, again, you were born to do this. So just a longtime admirer of yours and glad to see you get that deserved opportunity, because you've definitely had a long road, but man, you've been building your way black, as I like to say. And again, appreciate you for coming on this morning. But let's get started. For the intellectual outcast out there, if you're a first time listener, again, I go by the name aka Black Socrates, who take the Socratic method to these conversations on race, sex, and culture. And so I always ask a question for the title of our show, if you will, and this morning's discussion question is, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? Did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? I'm pretty sure everybody out there listening is very aware that she was recently let go by the Daily Wire, which she had been there since 2021, from what I understand. And so a lot of speculations, or for the most part, people think they have an idea of why she got fired, but she's definitely taken a turn, if you will. And so, I like to always start the show a particular way, which is, if you will, Shelly, it's just you and me today. No queens of intellect were able to hold me down. So it'll just be the boys, if you will, today. If anybody out there listening, if y'all want to jump in and give us your 3 cents, we'll definitely let y'all get in. But to get this show started, if you will, Shelly, I just like to simply ask, when you hear the question worded particular way, what pops in your mind is just kind of the initial thought that pops in your mind when you hear, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? Your thoughts. Hello, Shelly, did I lose you? All right, y'all. Looks like I got the brother on, but I just lost him. All right, brother, if you can hear me.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, no problem. Okay, yeah. You might have been on mute by accident. But yeah, real quick.
Yeah,
all right, go ahead, brother.
I got it. So
I expressed that same opinion on my own show when it happened. Coincidentally, it happened right after she was on Breakfast Club. I believe she was also on Joe Budden, but the Breakfast Club one was the one that kind of more went out there, went viral. I thought it was an excellent interview. I thought it was one of the best interviews I'd heard on a Breakfast Club in a long time, which does very good. They do very good interviews. I'm sorry, Montoya. That was the first thing I thought, that she was too black. But there's something else very interesting going on as well. She also talked about the Ben Shapiro back and forth that they had. And I think that had more to do with it than her being quote unquote too black. I think both played a role, but I think the Ben Shapiro answer that she gave played more of a role. And for those of you who don't know, she's on Daily Wire. Daily Wire is owned by, started by Ben Shapiro. The CEO is a guy by the name of Jeremy Boring, but it's Ben Shapiro's product by and large, right? It's like Montoya, you start your Montoya Smith Media Enterprises, and then you hire a guy to run it for you. It's still yours, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So for those of you who don't know the background, when October 7th happened in Israel, Candace had said early on, as did many people, but she said early on that Israel shouldn't take basically a bazooka to a fly on a wall, essentially. She didn't say that, but that's kind of the wording
right.
I'm using.
Right.
So she and Ben Shapiro got into a huge back and forth. But at that time, Ben Shapiro got in a back and forth with Tucker Carlson, with many conservatives who felt the same way. Not that there's Israel was wrong, Gaza was right, no pro side anywhere, but just the idea that let's not start a war, you know, and commit genocide over this attack on October 7th. And Candace had said back then that she felt that, you know, Ben Shapiro was wrong in his take on it. And they had a back and forth. Well, on a Breakfast Club, if you remember, what she said the day before they fired her, she made an explicit point to say she felt Ben Shapiro, who is very much pro-Israel, his wife is from Israel. He travels to Israel a lot. These are her words. He travels to Israel often, and that he was emotional. And she even went ahead and said, I understand that. And she made the analogy. She said, I have family in St. Thomas. If the same thing were to happen in St. Thomas, I would feel the same way. And her point was, if you're a pundit, you can't be emotional. You're supposed to just be your opinion, here's your opinion, and it's facts-based or what you feel a fact-based, and it's your opinion. But it can't be an emotional opinion. And she was saying that she felt he was just emotional at that time. I think that played a part in her being fired more than being too black. I think too black was a part of it. But I think that answer, because it's hard, basically what you're saying is that Ben Shapiro feels the way he does because he's emotional about it, not because his facts are straight, his history is straight, his opinion is well thought out. It's just an emotional opinion because he's so tied to Israel. And I think that's what, in my opinion, that's what got her fired as well.
Now, I could actually agree with, because what happens is people are just kind of, in my opinion, they're kind of simply laying it at, oh, you can't talk about Israel. You can't talk about the Jewish people, right? Like that's kind of been the quote of, I would say, the simple reason, if you will, for how people are couching her firing, if you will. But to your point, if we just keep it a bean, she just told that man he's sensitive on national TV, and he got the power to say, you can't work for me no more. Like, it's literally
exactly
to a degree.
Right. That's
so, yeah, literally to a degree. It's as simple as that to a degree. But as we go on the show, we're going to go to our first break. As we continue on the show, we'll get into some aspects of the quote-unquote too black, because we're kind of playing on words, and I stole that from you because we talked about what you had said on your show. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to catch that show, but we want to get into some of that aspect as well, because that's a kind of a funny pairing, right? Candace Owens and Too Black. So let's get into that when we get it to come back from this break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. For all the callers out there, we'll let y'all get in as well.
Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week bootcamp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second bootcamp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next bootcamp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance, it's a skill that can be developed.
Candace Owens and conservative website The Daily Wire have officially broken up. Friday morning, The Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring posted on X, quote, Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. He did not give a reason on the circumstances that led to this shift. But earlier this week, the Anti-Defamation League highlighted the fact that white supremacist Nick Fuentes applauded Owens' rhetoric on Jews. Owens has been outspoken in her commentary about Jewish people in politics, in the media, and her support for Palestine.
Regardless, based on her latest episode posted just yesterday, the news may have come as a surprise to Owens. Take a look.
I'm not going to go away. I'm going to use my God-given voice to talk about the things that are important for me. I'm just asking to be left alone, or at least just report the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. But don't worry, because we will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode.
The controversial right-wing commentator took to her own X account, posting, quote, the rumors are true, I'm finally free, end quote. There will be many announcements in the weeks to come. Owens joined The Daily Wire back in 2021. It's a little bit unclear about what's next for Owens here. Very obvious she's not with The Daily Wire anymore, and that whether it was a firing or they had a conversation this morning that ended in them deciding to end their relationship, all the language makes it sound like they broke up and that it was a romantic relationship. They're going their separate ways, though.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? Special guest, Shelly Winters of the Shelly Winters Show, as we hear the Hill give their coverage of, if you will, Candace being let go from the Daily Wire. And the cool thing about that clip was, in a sense, she said, see you tomorrow. And so to their point, it did, in a sense, probably pull the rug from under her, if you will, in the sense that she was ended, it seems, unknowingly. However, she tweeted, I'm finally free. I thought that was pretty interesting and wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on that, Shelly, that in the sense that she's saying, hey, this happened. I've been going back and forth as everybody's been putting it kind of known about. It's been an obvious public dispute between her and Shapiro, the founder of Daily Wire. And she goes, I'm finally free. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I was just curious, what are your thoughts on her saying that? In a sense, I think people would call that standing on business these days. So I got let go, but I feel like I'm free. Your thoughts on that, King?
Well, I mean, I think what she means by that is that's a troll. I use troll, but I use the word loosely. That's a troll's free to say what I want to say. In other words, I can speak on – it's interesting, right? You have a situation, right? I said this, and I'll say it again here. Candace Owens, I agree – I don't agree with everything. We're both, I would say, conservative, if you will. But we don't, I don't agree on everything. And one of the biggest disagreements I had with her was during the George Floyd incident, murder.
Mm-hmm.
And when the whole world, Hannity, conservatives, people, mostly everybody, cops even, law enforcement people, were saying, whoa, this is bad, right? Everybody now, some people march in the streets, obviously, but even law enforcement saw that as, you can't put your knee on a guy's neck for 8 minutes, right? And so when she was saying he was high, he died of an overdose and all of that, and bringing in the drug aspect, you know, his addiction problems into it, I disagree with her from the standpoint of, one, humanity standpoint, but also from the standpoint of, this is a perfect opportunity where the whole country is seeing something and everyone's in kind of, most people, you know, the vast majority of people are in, devoid of party politics, are in agreement that this is a bad thing. And so if we're to, as African-American conservatives, try and bring people over to see what we're talking about and listen to us with some open-mindedness, you saying this seems to be just play-acting to a particular side of the fence, and a small portion of that side of the fence. And so I disagree with her on that. But my broader point is that Candace is – and so my point is she has said things that has been offensive to African-Americans. Now, I may not have been offended, but I know a large portion of the black community has been offended. But you never fired her for that. You know what I'm saying? You never let her go for that. You never let her go for saying some of those offensive things that a large portion of the black population found offensive. But you're firing her for this. So it kind of plays to what she had been saying, is that you can't say anything bad about a group of people or you'll get in trouble. You're kind of playing to that stereotype, that whatever, in her case, you're playing to what she's been saying. I can talk bad about Hispanics. I can talk bad about black people. I can talk badly about black Democrats. I can call Congress people, African-American Democrat Congress people, out of their names. You won't touch me. You'll cheer for me to do that because you're getting the clicks. But now I'm saying something else that is also not necessarily controversial, simply because a large majority of people agree with the ceasefire. Many people in this world, in this country, want ceasefire. A lot of Republicans are leaning towards ceasefire. Tucker Carlson was talking about ceasefire back in November and December. I mean, before the war even started, he was saying we're sending aid to Israel in order to carry out a war. And so a lot of people have been saying, taking a different side, rather than the absolute 1,000% pro-Israel side. And so it's not necessarily a controversial statement when, you know, a statement is controversial when you're the only one holding that position. This one is not necessarily controversial. Clinton, Obama, and Joe Biden had a big fundraiser in New York. There were hundreds of people outside yelling Genocide Joe. Everywhere he goes, there are protesters yelling Genocide Joe. So clearly there are people who agree with Candace Owens on this. That what she was saying when she said, that was a long answer. I'm sorry, Montoya.
No, you're fine. It's just you and me, brother. Rock out. We are beautiful. We rock it out, brother. Uh-huh.
All right. So that was a long answer to saying I'm finally free. I take that to mean I'm free to not have to worry about, not worry, because I don't think she was ever worried per se, but I'm free to say what I want to say without going into an office and having people yell at me about my opinion when they never yelled at me about any other opinions. But I do want to go back to black, because that's important to note here too. If you watch I'm sure you did, but if your listeners watch that Breakfast Club interview, she said certain things that I felt she's always believed, but you never heard her say. Because if you don't follow Candace Owens, you only hear the soundbite of someone saying, oh, I can't believe she said this. And it's a 5, 10, 15, 20-second soundbite. So when she talked, particularly when she said that black people are very creative and that if you take the best black singer or black artist versus the best white artist, right, you're going to find a black artist is far and away more talented. Well, you got to understand, her base is all white boys, basically, and a lot of white women. So when she said that, that played a part in it, too. And that's, I think, where people are saying too black when you're saying things like that. Now, as a black conservative on the radio, I've said things like that all the time. But my audience has come to understand that I have my own opinion, and they respect me for it. And so they may call in and disagree, but it's you know what I mean? They've
right.
heard it before. And so there were certain things that Candace said in that interview when she was talking about Kanye, who, by the way, her ties to Kanye plays into the anti-Semitic trope, if you
right.
will, because she didn't back down from her her support of Kanye. She even, you know, she said they had a little, there's a difference of opinion. She didn't even say there's a difference of opinion. She said Kanye is going to be Kanye, and I still support Kanye. He's my friend. So there was that. You know what I mean? You know, there's certain people now, you know,
yeah,
and so that's where I think that had a lot to play with it. But I think the basis of this was not necessarily she was too black. I think it was that she was too pro, too anti-Israel.
Now, I respect that. The thing is, to play into the too black, if you will, and see what you think of this, but to play into it was her and Shapiro were already going back and forth literally since October 7th. You know what I mean? They had little moments, snippets at each other, and things where, in a sense, he even openly said, I disagree with certain things that she said, and she was, in a sense, still on the wire. But to your point, when she goes to a breakfast club, if you will, and you're right, a lot of things probably were surprising for her actual base to actually hear in reference to, oh, it's almost like we didn't know you thought this way, Candace. And to a degree, that specific aspect for her to get fired at this very moment, right after that interview, despite them already having this disagreement, to a degree can lean into the aspect of, oh, wow, she's showing her true colors. Well, in addition to me not liking what she had to say pro-Israel, well, now that we know that you feel this way, we really want you off this broadcast. So I'm just throwing out that I can see what made you even come up with this aspect, like you said, with your base, it's understood. I watched that interview, and I've watched it before, so I don't go by just the snippets that I get from her. But to a degree, and we're going to play some of those cuts from the Breakfast Club, where it is surprising, in a sense, to hear Candace go that route. Now, the question is, Shelly, and for the callers out there, if you want to jump in, you do have to press 1. You can get in this conversation this morning. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. Now, the question is, it's going to be seen as almost a 180 based on how she's perceived, if you will, in the media, right? Like what we heard on Breakfast Club will seem like a complete 180. Now, the question is this just her play knowing this, in a sense, was coming? Her play, in a sense, to gather another audience. So people will question, and I think rightfully so, question some aspects of what she had to say to determine, does she even mean those things? Because, quote unquote, we've never heard a Candace say those things. Again, it's a perspective. I'm not saying I'm right, but
right.
it is a perspective that has
right.
to be explored. Your thoughts on that one, if you will.
I think it's a perspective, and I'm not saying this about you because I know you're asking the question as the host. I think anybody that has that perspective solely from the standpoint of the caricature that's been drawn about Candace Owens by outside forces. I know her. I've met her. She is black. She, like, when she talked about Kanye and she talked about growing up on Kanye and hip-hop, that's who she is. She's never steered away from that. When she talks about her family and being raised by her grandfather, that's who she is. It's like questioning, if you question Clarence Thomas's blackness for 30 years, because he's a conservative Supreme Court justice who's never written a decision that disproportionately hurt black people. And all of a sudden you saw Clarence Thomas doing the electric slide or something, you know what I mean? And all this, and then all of a sudden you would say, oh, Clarence is starting to act black. No, that's who he's always been. You have went with the caricature set by others for you to believe he's been something other than he is. And it's the same thing for Candace Owens. I give you a perfect example. When Ben Carson was running for office, right, and he had, was running for president, and he was in the primary, and it was like 2 months that he shot up to like the top of the
league.
Yeah,
I remember.
Right?
Yeah, I remember.
And they did a profile on him, right? Well, in that profile that they did on him, they had a picture of him and his wife standing in the foyer. Not the living room, but the foyer, meaning that's the first thing you see when you walk into his house, was a picture of Jesus holding out his arms, you know, welcoming you kind of. And it was a black Jesus, right?
Uh-huh.
So at that point in time, people were saying, they were laughing at, black people were laughing at Ben Carson, oh, he's just trying to do that to show, no, that's who he is. And
right.
So the reaction that to that black Jesus in Ben Carson's house probably more affected him going forward in that race with white conservatives than it did with black people. But my point is,
I'm following
black conservatives, because I am one, black conservatives are always painted with this brush of anti-blackness because we're conservative. But if you listen to us and you follow us, you will find we're in many ways blacker than black Democrats, I would say, simply because we're holding true to the concepts and the belief systems of people from Garvey to Malcolm, going way, you know, to Harriet, to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you're listening to a caricature built by a liberal-run media about what it means to be a black conservative. And so your opinions are cast in a racial standpoint, a racial solidarity standpoint, as opposed to your opinions being cast based on the opinion itself. I'll give you a perfect example. I'll end here. I've seen protests for Palestine where I've seen signs, Jews for Gaza, right? I don't hear Jewish people telling those Jewish people they're not Jewish.
Hmm.
I just hear Jewish people telling them they disagree with them and here's why. But they don't tell them you're not authentically Jewish. You're not this. You're not that. They just say, no,
mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be for Israel. But there's no character destruction about whether they're Jewish or not, or really Jewish or not. And I think that's one of the things that, as a black conservative, I would like to see more of from us, is that if I hold a different opinion than you politically or on anything, that being labeled a black conservative doesn't necessarily make you call out my character, call out my anti-black or anything like that, that you're able to have a discussion with me based on the opinion I'm holding, not based on what someone has said black conservatives are supposed to be, based on what white liberals have defined them to be.
No, I love that. And I think you do know what I do with Mr. Dialogue, from the standpoint of I typically do stay away from politics and religion, if you will. And obviously this conversation kind of morphs it in because of the situation that we're talking about. But I think you do understand the number one thing I do with the platform, especially if you're a first-time listener out there with us, is to be able to do exactly what Shelley just said. And obviously he's saying it from a quote-unquote black conservative standpoint. But the ultimate thing we're trying to do in the dialogue is to have a dialogue without desecrating character. Something that I always say, and for those that don't know, and I'll highlight it because I think it's just appropriate in this moment, and Shelley knows this, I'm an independent voter, if you will. And so something that I quite often say is when it comes to politics, often our community is more Democrat than black. And it's me playing on some of what Shelley's talking about. And for me, it's not, again, I'm not on either side. I am literally an independent. But the reality of how things have been played in our community, I think that comment speaks to what Shelley just spoke about. Often we're, as I say, more Democrat than black. But I all have this one rule of thumb that I live by, is I'll never lose a friend over a difference of political opinion on religious opinion because I understand how near and dear those things are to people, if you will. We actually got another cut that I want to play, but I'm going to go to this caller before we play this cut. Area code 416, last 3119. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. 119, you're on with us live. 119.
Oh, hi, Montoya. This is Leslie from Toronto, Canada. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Go ahead, Queen. I got a cut I want to play, but I want to let you get your whole thought in before I play that cut.
Okay, thanks so much. I'm just so proud of Candace Owens. You know, I've been watching The Daily Wire for a long time now. I was actually a big fan of Ben Shapiro, and I used to watch him religiously until October 7th, when it became very clear to me that he was being emotional and he wasn't looking at things objectively. And I noticed that when he would talk about the people who were protesting on behalf of Gaza, he referred to them as Hamas supporters. And, you know, he basically labeled anyone, including Barack Obama, anyone who in any way even remotely criticized Israel, he called them anti-Semitic. That just completely turned me off, and I completely could not watch Ben Shapiro anymore. I think what also might have pissed him off is when Candace Owens had Norman Finkelstein on her show, and he is a Jewish professor, but he's always put for decades he's been very supportive of the Palestinian cause, and people like Norman Finkelstein and others like him, there are Jewish people that refer to them as self-hating Jews. You know, they actually call them that, self-hating Jews. So I just wanted to mention that. But I'm very proud of Candace, because to me it's very clear that this is a genocide. This is the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life, and I'm really glad that she's speaking up on this and you know, not just not just supporting Israel and the Jews so she can keep her job. So I'm very proud of her, and that's just what I wanted to share.
Hey, thank you for your 3 cents. You brought up a couple of great points. While I got you on, let me see if Shelly has any thoughts to anything our caller Leslie out of Toronto had to say. Anything that stands out to you, Shelly?
No. Leslie raises a good point, and I appreciate Leslie for you making a mention about self-hating Jews. I was making a point more from the standpoint of the broader audience, but she's absolutely right. There are Jews who will attack other Jews when they feel they're criticizing Israel too much. So I apologize for being too general when I made that statement. Thank you for checking me on that, Leslie.
Nah, beautiful. Thank you, Leslie, for that 3 cents. You've been on the show. You've called into the show before. So absolutely, if you want to get back in, definitely hit your come off your one and come back on it if you want to get back in the show. We actually got another caller. Let me shoot to the other caller. I got a cut I want to play, y'all, but I'm going to go ahead and shoot to this caller because they may want to respond to some things we've already said. 404, last 3316, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Indeed. Hello to all of your callers, Montoya, or your audience. My name is L. I'm calling out of Atlanta, and I just wanted to briefly speak on, she said, Candace, it was saying that I am finally free. That was just a part of it. And to me, it could have just been a slip of a finger or whatever, Freudian slip. But for me, it indicates that there was or is an ownership of her narrative. And I find that it's not unique to her. To many people who work for certain organizations. But she's not the first person to be cut off, and I think history will show that. But just from recent history, I just want to connect what happened with Roland Martin when he was fired from CNN for some perceivable homophobic comments. Then we have Don Lemon. He was fired from CNN for so-called sexist remarks and as well as challenging the guests on racial history. So ultimately, I think there will be a lot more firings to come as long as our people speak against the interests of their bosses, right? So, yeah. So that's my 3 cents on that. And if I could just say something to Shelley there, Mr. Shelley. He made a comparison about how, maybe you could just clarify, he made a comparison about how you don't find Jewish people looking at another Jew or protesting and challenging their Jewism or being Jewish, and just they're having a respectable disagreement and a conversation. And then he kind of compared that to like when black people are being challenged and they say you're not black. I think that's a false comparison. I think a more accurate comparison would be you have to that Jewish one Jew saying just supporting another Jew, if you have a black Baptist calling out another Baptist, because we're talking about religion here, right? And I find that there's always this confusion comparing religion with race. They're not the same thing. Judaism, Jews are people who study, is it Judaism, right? And
correct.
Then, like, but black is considered
it's actually
a race.
Just
so, I mean,
just
I don't
clarity,
know.
Just not to cut you off, but clarity is actually it serves as an ethnicity and people who practice Judaism. So it kind of has a two-part role, just to kind of give some clarity. But go ahead and finish your point. I got to get to a cut, so can you make it quick?
Okay, no. Okay, go ahead, do your thing. I still, I mean, I'm not going to, maybe on a different, if you have a show about that, I'd like to get deeper
into
that.
Yeah, no
doubt.
We can get into it.
Oh,
you can get back in. Let me just play this cut, because I got to get this cut play and get to a commercial.
All right.
So, come off the one and come back in, and then you can jump back in with that. Thank you, brother. Let me go ahead and play this cut.
Cool.
Yep, absolutely. Let me go ahead and play this cut. This is actually Candace on The Breakfast Club, just kind of hearing some of what Shelly has already referred to, her speaking on The Breakfast Club. And to Shelly's point, this may be, for some of you, the first time you've heard her speak in this manner, if you will. Let me play this cut, and me and Shelly will dialogue about it, and y'all can get in with us as well.
Black music was based on what we can actually create and our talent. Because like I said, we have a ton of talent. I tend to think that when we get involved in certain things, we just do it better. I think creatively, black people are very gifted. And where somebody is making our gift a curse, right? It's encouraging, it's music that's encouraging black men to commit crimes. It's like a hip-hop to prison pipeline. And I just, you know, I really question it.
How do you feel when Meek Mill says he listens to you all the time? Because I've just thought about that when you were talking about the music that they make. They actually listen to you all the time. Did you see that tweet?
I did see that, and I reached out to him, and we had a private discussion very quickly, but it was so interesting because just based on that tweet, how quickly they tried to make sure that me and Meek Mill wouldn't talk, right? Media instantly. This is what Candace has said in the past about, you know, Meek Mill being arrested. Just, again, constantly trying to fracture black relationships, and that has always been the name of the game from politics to the media. They are interested in the business of fracturing black relationships if it's a relationship that I think they believe could advance black America. So I'm just like, when is there going to be that moment that black America is really just going to fully awaken, you know, and have our moment, like have our enlightenment in this country, because we've never been allowed to have it. Yeah, and I think that there are people that genuinely hate black Americans, and I think sometimes people pretend to be the friends of black Americans. And they're just not. They're not our friends.
You call Fannie Willis a ghetto superstar.
Yeah, Maya's song was great.
Why is Fannie Willis a ghetto superstar?
Come on. Did you watch that freaking ridiculous court? Did you watch that court? Mm-hmm. It was wild. It was just like, just gave me the Maya song. Like, I thought she was fabulous. I was like, this is so entertaining. Like I said on my show, they should put her on Love and Hip Hop. I was entertained. I was entertained by Fannie Willis, but she has no business being a district attorney. And maybe we should listen to all the black men in Fulton County who have been saying, you know, they all lined up in the streets and were like, Trump, 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 Trump. And when they interviewed them, the black guys were saying, because we've been saying forever in Fulton County that these charges are all trumped up and ridiculous. And now for the first time, people are going to pay attention to it because it hit the president. And they were right, obviously. I was only watching this court case because it had to do with Trump. And it was crazy. Like, somebody that corrupt should never be in a position of power.
Yeah.
But she is a superstar.
I wonder if she should step down, because it is a distraction. You know what I mean? Like, people should be focused on the fact that Donald Trump, you know, attempted to overturn the results of an election in Georgia. Like, that's what the trial should be about. But as long as Fannie Willis is on the case, I think they'll constantly make it about that.
What's up, Brother Shelly? Any thoughts, again, after you were actually referring to that specific part of the show, and I wanted to share some of it on this show. So go ahead and just jump in and give us your 3 cents as you know, any part of that you want to jump in. I cover obviously two different parts,
right,
if you will, but go ahead.
Right. No. It's all one part, really. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're coming through loud and clear. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, it's all one part to me, because what she's first talking about creativity, right? And then she's talking about how the media, and when she's saying the media, she's in the media. So she's also speaking on Daily Wire, right? And she's speaking on other outlets because when she talks about Meek Mill. When Kanye West, let me give you a background to answer that question even more fully, Montoya and your audience. When Kanye first hooked up with Candace, the first reaction from conservatives was, remember he jumped on stage with Taylor Swift. The other attack was, remember he said George Bush doesn't care about black people. Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, a lot of the conservatives, the big conservative names, was like, well, he's going to turn on us. You know, don't get excited about his support for Trump. And Candace at the time was building a very huge and quite influential relationship with him. And so when she makes that statement, she's not just talking about Democrats. She's talking about in general. And so I think that goes back to what she said when she said, I'm free. Like, I don't have to do this anymore. Candace is going to be fine. I know my brother talked about, I wanted to address what Brother L said also. I know he talked about Roland and Don Lemon. Roland is fine. Candace is going to be fine. Don Lemon, not so much. And that should tell you a lot about why Don Lemon didn't get fired because he went back and forth with Vivek Ramaswamy. Don Lemon got fired because the ratings were horrible, were absolutely horrible. And this business is based on that. I think Roland got fired during a time of a heated time in Me Too movement, heightened sensitivity around LGBT issues and stuff like that. I'm in media. I don't agree with anybody losing their job in media, right? But with Roland Martin, he's going to be fine because he has a platform. He built his own platform.
Right.
Candace is going to be fine. We're going to see her again very shortly. Don't be surprised if you don't see her with her own show on X, much like Tucker Carlson. She's
right.
got a fan base. She's got a platform. She's going to be fine. Don Lemon, not so much, because Don Lemon never had the numbers. When he had his own show at night, it was the lowest rated, usually the lowest rated cable news show at night in his time slot. And I would make the argument that Don Lemon stayed on TV longer than any white guy would have because he's African American and gay. When it became a problem with the women treatment and stuff like that, that was leaked out. We only heard about that because that's when they started to want to get rid of him. So I kind of disagree with Brother L when he talks about what people can and cannot say. I'm in media. I'm on a number one largest news and talk station in the country. And I'm on 5 days a week. I'm filling in prime time next week, all week. No one has ever in my career, never come to me and said, don't talk about this. No one. That has never happened to me, and I know it's never happened to my brother Rashad Ritchie on 1380. No one comes to us and says, hey, don't talk about this. Now, that being said, I want to be very transparent with everybody. That being said, there are times that you fundamentally understand that there are some things you may not want to touch.
Guardrails.
And that's
you understand that there are guardrails, even though nobody directly says. Right. Go ahead.
Nobody, you have to be smart enough to know there are guardrails. And I'll give Elle and everybody listening a perfect example, because I don't want anybody running away from here saying, you know, Shelly doesn't talk about things. There are certain situations where you may know someone personally involved in a particular story, right? And they may be a dear personal friend of yours. I have 3 hours of talk at night. I may not touch that story in any form for a while because that's a personal friend of mine. You know what I'm saying? And so if that happens, I may not bring it up, and that's my right not to bring it up. Now, no one told me to bring it up, not to bring it up, or whatever. Now, if the story gets big enough, clearly you can't ignore it anymore, and you have to bring it up. But I know talk radio hosts who have told me personally, not at my station, but at other stations, who have told me when it comes to Israel, they're not touching it. They're not, and these are white people, right? These are white. These are not black people. These are white people. They're not touching it. And the reason why they're not touching it is just like I've heard people tell me I'm not touching abortion or I'm not touching gun control because there's no real reason to touch these subjects because there's no winning that argument. There's no winning the Israel argument. There's no winning the gun control argument. There's no winning the abortion argument. People that are on either side of that argument who are hard and fast and there's no way around convincing or not even convincing but having a fair discussion about any of those three issues without it being emotional. And once you get into emotions, when you're talking on the radio or on any platform, it everything goes away. All reason goes away. And the reason why we have discussions is have a reasonable, logical discussion. But if you have an issue or a topic that is totally emotional-based, gun control, abortion, dare I say Israel, Palestine, then you're not going to have a reasonable discussion, and so a lot of people don't touch it.
And yeah, so let me jump in.
Al was talking.
No, absolutely. Let me jump in real quick so we can go to a break, if you will. But I just wanted to highlight and reiterate what you're saying. It becomes an aspect of self-regulation from the standpoint that person says, you know what, I'm too concerned that I can't avoid the landmines to this emotional conversation. There are others in radio who will touch those very conversations. I have a little freedom here on this independent situation where I don't have to worry about some of the guardrails that Shelly may have to be aware of on the larger broadcast. So I love highlighting that's my niche. We will have the conversations that others are afraid of. We will talk about Palestine and Israel. We'll talk about abortion here. But I absolutely understand my brother, as he just said, Shelly Winters, who's never been told don't say this or don't say that on his larger show, I understand him being aware of the guardrails that I can kind of get away with here on Blog Talk Radio, just keeping it a bean with everybody out there. So I definitely understand that perspective. Let me jump to this break, brother. I got to jump to this break. Take care of my sponsor. Sorry. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. Change the game.
A lot of our fan base is black people, a lot of times Christian or fundamentalist Christians, who have a conspiratorial streak about what's going on in the media and Hollywood and blah, 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 blah. Which is why she'll do things like dive into the P. Diddy case, cover all those allegations, and then find things that can take it down a conspiratorial rabbit hole, use that to reinforce the notion that all these things that we are seeing and believing is just a cover-up, and then use that to say, oh, the Department of Education should be abolished because they're trying to get black people to be illiterate because look how illiterate they are right now. And it's all a cover-up and these things are being pushed into the black community. Shoehorning in the shittiest of shitty political takes because at the end of the day, there's something that we need to be paying attention to here. Remember, Candace Owens has clicked up with and defended Kanye West during all his anti-Semitic comments, been making some herself since October 7th. And in response to that, Ben called her out and was like, her rhetoric during this whole Israel-Hamas situation has been horrible and despicable. Later in the day, she tweets this cryptic-ass message with some biblical shit about how you can't serve God and money. People kind of seen it as anti-Semitic because she was probably responding to Ben and, you know, the association between Jewish people and money and whatever. Regardless of the intention, still a weird fucking thing to tweet out of nowhere, but then unrelated, Candace says this shit.
Kanye West, notoriously, obviously, when he tweeted out, I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on some Jews, and the media freaked out and people in the Jewish community were understandably very scared, not knowing what he meant. Rabbi Shmuley Boteach was threatening me, and it wasn't just him, it was also his daughter, messaging me saying, don't mess with Jews. Very bizarre stuff, and they have not stopped, to be clear. And so what I belief is something that should be explored is whether or not what's happening is that just like within all communities, there are gangs in the Black community. We've got the Bloods, we've got the Crips. Well, imagine if the Bloods and the Crips doing horrific things, controlling people with blackmail. And then every time a person spoke out about it, the Bloods and the Crips would call those people racist. What if that is what is happening right now in Hollywood? If there is just a very small ring of specific people who are using the fact that they are Jewish to shield themselves from any criticism.
Again, speculating that maybe there's a ring of Jewish people who are secretly using their Jewishness to defend themselves against criticism. Mind you, this is why the girl in the video said don't mess with Jews, because her father got a threat like this. She then twisted the situation to spread anti-Jewish conspiracy theories. Oh, and this was after she already went off the fucking deep end, because in the replies of that tweet of the person explaining how he got threats because he was Jewish, Candace liked two replies, one of them saying you're making it too easy for people to hate Jews, and the other one saying are you drunk on Christian blood again, which is the literal fucking blood libel conspiracy theory that's been peddled for centuries with no proof, about how Jewish people murder Christians and their kids and then drink their fucking blood. And of course, after all that shit, she would get fired. But she's insulated herself from that. You have people like Sneeko saying call Ben Shapiro the world because they canceled her, and how free speech stops with Jews in Israel, furthering the conspiracy because, you know, a Jewish person owns the company and she just got fired, which means she must be getting silent. Candace Owens needs an enemy to paint as responsible for the Black community's downfall. And in an effort not to just outright sound like she hates Black people anymore, she has decided that these things that we're seeing are being pushed on the Black community. Pushed by who? Well, the elites in Hollywood who might be using their identities to hide themselves from criticism. And look how they're... Because if she acknowledged that the reason why the Black community has so many issues is because of environment, policy that creates bad environments, the reinforcement of those policy and those environments for generations upon generations, and the lack of any effort to actually help demographics of people improve, then she wouldn't and couldn't be a Black conservative. So...
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too Black? As you hear Jay Williams 8, that's what the brother goes by on IG, offering his perspective on her being let go, if you will. Brother Shelly Winters is our special guest from the Shelly Winters Show. If you will, Shelly, any thoughts? Brother jumps around a lot of places, but I thought it was a worthy viewpoint, again, because we try to talk some things from both sides of it. So this brother says, hey, here's how I see all of this. Any thoughts on anything that you heard that stood out to you?
Yeah. Again, attacking Candace for being Candace. I mean, that's all I heard. When she talked about education in the Black community, right, she laid out the stats, right? And so... If you have a company, right, let's call education in this country a company, and the company is to educate children. That's its business. And 70% of people or the customers, the kids, can't read at grade level, 70%. Then where do you look to blame anybody? I'm not saying the Jewish part. I'm saying where do you blame the educational system? Now, of course, you can go to parenting. Of course, you can go to policies. Of course, you can go to any number of places. But the place you have to start is with the educational system. And so once you start with that and say, okay, well, the schools are bad. They're not working. 70% of kids can't read. Okay, let's start there. Your next logical thought is, well, that educational system is run by the exact same people that a lot of people believe is racist and white supremacist. Huh. Well, if they're racist and white supremacist and people believe that, then the next logical thought is they must be trying to make them illiterate on purpose. And then the next logical statement is, or question becomes, why would you try and make a group of people illiterate on purpose in a country based in capitalism? And so those are all logical thoughts to have. Now, where he's going with it about environmentalism and policies and stuff like that, Candace supports, as do I, a policy of educational choice. But there are people like Jay Williams, I assume, that don't. And so, you know, my point is that he's going down, all of what I heard was the Candace Owens hatred trope and feeding on that trope of, I hate Candace, I hate what she represents, I hate who she is, so I'm going to drive home this point that she's a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, as we all know, conspiracy theories are all often things that people think and they're proven correct eventually. Hey, Montoya, I hate to go, but I have to go. I've got to do my show on my Saturday show on WSB.
Okay, brother. Appreciate you for your 3 cents for the callers out there. I definitely wanted to challenge you on what you just, a little bit on what you just said, but I definitely respect if you
go
got
ahead.
It. Well,
go
yeah,
ahead.
You're
go
in
ahead.
The challenge.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if you had a second. Yes. Yeah, just a second. Yeah, we'll make yes. this the last second. You got 5 minutes? You got five more minutes?
5 minutes. 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, cool, cool. So think, yeah, what I wanted to, I definitely understood the how you laid out in a sense the reading literacy. That's just, like I said, that's a major issue. What I would highlight when he mentions policy, if you will, and I've heard you talk about this as well, but just using the example you just gave, when it comes to, quote, unquote, politically, school choice or being against school choice, the unfortunate reality is you still haven't done nothing to change the, quote, unquote, bad school that's producing a 70% illiteracy rate inside of an inner city, 40% across the country, as Candace highlighted on the
absolutely.
Breakfast Club. But
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I just want to highlight that, yeah, that in that perspective, it is not just limited to policy in that sense. When you have either policy not effectively addressing something as an independent, that's where you can start saying policy versus conspiracy. Go ahead, brother.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And the point that many of us at school choice advocates make is that, well, that in order to fix that situation, you haven't been able to fix it for 50 plus years. So let's save who we can and how many, as many as we can while you try and fix that system. But you're absolutely right. It does not fix the system by having school choice, but you get to save some.
Fair enough. I just kind of highlighting, you know, just highlighting that there are some, some valid dialogue. But nah, I understand you got to get out of here, brother. So I'm going to keep rocking this thing out. I'll let some of the callers, I see y'all out there, get in on the show and help me navigate this last hour. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate that. But if you will, let them know how to follow your YouTube channel, because I know you're trying to build that up as well. So leave them with that information before you go, brother.
Please, brothers and sisters, whether you agree with me or not, I need your help. I'm coming to implore you. I have a YouTube channel. It's on YouTube.com, The Shelly Winter Show on YouTube.com. I'm about 95 people from 1,000. And as many of you know, once you get to 1,000, you can monetize it. So my plea right now is I got good content up there. Whether you agree or disagree, it's good content. Good quality videos that I play, that I cut for my show at night. So please follow me so I can get to 1,000. This is please follow the Shelly Winter Show the Shelly Winter Show on YouTube.
Nah, absolutely. I watch Shelly's videos, and you're supporting this huge initiative that you just had a mommy. Sundance, I think if I've got it right or whatever, if you can throw that out,
yes,
then I'll let you know, brother.
For brothers to bring their moms out, what I found at our age group, many brothers get married, and rightfully so, you get married, and Mother's Day basically becomes about your wife and the kids. You love your mom. We love our moms, as I do. Essentially Mother's Day becomes, hey, Ma, happy Mother's Day, love you, your card, here's a card, or here's dinner, whatever. But the Mother's Day is primarily focused around your wife and the kids. And so what this dance is doing the Saturday before Mother's Day is to allow brothers to bring their moms out, single mothers to come out with their sons, and kind of celebrate Mother's Day and that mother-son bond. I'm a born and raised mama's boy. I'm proud of it. So that is May 11th, and you can go to Valerie G. Winter, WYNTER Foundation.org to get more information.
No, absolutely. So like you keep saying, whether you agree or disagree, that's what we specialize in, is the art of consideration. And so whether you agree with the thought or not, that has nothing to do with supporting an amazing initiative such as the Valerie G. Winter's Foundation to support that cause. So love it, brother. So go, let's help this brother get to monetizing YouTube. Thank you so much for giving me your time, Shelly. Appreciate you, Kate.
Thank you, Montoya. Love you, brother, and stay strong, my friend.
No, absolutely. All right, y'all, we're going to go to this break and continue this conversation. I'm going to open it up, the phone lines, and hopefully y'all can hold me down in this last hour because I don't have a queen of intellect holding me down this morning. All of them were busy, and so I don't like doing whole hours myself. So, again, I will get y'all in on some of these conversations because we're going to still continue to play cuts from the Breakfast Club as well as some other thoughts when it comes to this morning's discussion question. Did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand, it's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Not just in the right, but everywhere. You see in mainstream media, Mark Lamont Hill was run out of a job at CNN
yep.
for saying Free Palestine a while ago. Like, do you really think black people are going to side with Israel over the Palestinians? Do you really expect black people, even black right-wingers? Like, at the end of the day, people are people. You really think black people are going to side with the Israelis? Do you really think the Israelis are who they're going to side with in a situation like this? Like, it just – of course this was going to happen. And rather than just, like – be accepting of that and cast a big tent and you know, actually practice what you preach in terms of, like, your opposition to cancel culture. No, instead they forced her out.
Here's one more tweet.
Because what it registers to me as is power, real power hiding behind a veneer of victimhood, the kind of power that can take somebody out and end their entire career if that person says something that they don't like. And in this case, it's not that I'm saying things that they don't like. It's that I'm refusing to allow my voice to be controlled. I want to be clear to you guys. I'm going to be honest with you because everybody's noticing it. Every single political commentator in America, every single one of them knows this, that if you do not step out and say things that are radically pro-Israel, or if you are too quiet on certain narratives and they want you to be radically pro-Israel, you can lose everything. That's true. That is a fact. I'm not feeling like I need to hide from that anymore because, or be afraid to say it, rather, is a better way to say it, because I've endured this for years. I'm just at the end of my rope. I have given so much rope here, and I am just done with it. Every person that you are a fan of, they know this. Every person that you line up to go hear speak, they know this. Again, it's not even on the basis of what you say. It can sometimes be on the basis of what you don't say, that an entire mob will assemble. They'll write piece after piece after piece until you subjugate. If you don't subjugate, the bounty grows larger. So yes, there was a large bounty on my head for the crime of refusing to suddenly hate Muslims and to condone Muslims getting bombed following October 7th. Everybody can see that. I have said.
Welcome back to the Vincent Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? And we are digging into different perspectives or aspects of her being let go by the Daily Wire. If you're tuning in here a little late, obviously pretty sure you've heard that in the media, if you will. We're just digging in from the Vincent Dialogue perspective. And so a couple cuts I actually played there. And the first one kind of plays off a little bit of what we're talking about, or you heard from the Jay Williams 8 cut from IG, if you were listening, pointing out some aspects of his perspective on Candace in the sense that she focused on these big conspiracies as part of her grift, if you will. He didn't use the word grift, but if you're familiar with the term grifters, if you will, a lot of people refer to her as a grifter who will kind of jump into these big, broader perspectives, and it becomes a little harder to pinpoint someone down. And there are people who are suggesting that even her visit to the Breakfast Club possibly is an aspect of what will be part of her quote-unquote new grift, now that she's being shunned by the mainstream media. And so to highlight the initial cut that you heard out of the break, where you heard a white man, if you will, saying, hey, do you really expect blacks to, in a sense, support Israel? Like, why would you even expect that? And that thought is curious to me, because I know a lot of my friends who feel exactly like that. Like, what is there to support? Why would I support, quote unquote, Israel? And their African, my friends are African Americans. And so to, in a sense, hear this white man publicly saying, why would you have that expectation? And I hate that we were weren't able to keep Shelley, because it was a question I definitely wanted to ask, because there is some history there for why I think there are those in the Jewish community that would expect to get that support from African Americans. There is history even within this own country where, if you will, during the civil rights movement, where the Jewish community and the black community linked up to push together, if you will, with during the civil rights time. And so I've spoken to those in the Jewish community who are still supportive of those same initiatives. And for them, they would be shocked, if I'm being very honest, for why there wouldn't be support from the African-American community. I assume, I don't know, I didn't get the name of the guy who I played the cut from, who was saying, why would you expect blacks to be a support of Israel? I assume he is saying that from the perspective of the persecution that plenty of African Americans feel that they experience, if you will, within this country, or historically what we've been experiencing to an extent. I assume that white man says, well, from the black perspective, this seems to be more persecution via Israel, and we equate it to white supremacy, via white supremacy. So I would assume, I would love to ask him personally, but I would assume his perspective on why would you expect blacks to support Israel is because he feels our perspective is we relate to the persecution based on our own historical context. Again, I'm making an assumption there, but I'm highlighting why to that white man, it seems obvious that, as he said, even black right wingers, struggling over the word there, that even right wingers, black right wingers would probably not be in support of what Israel's doing from his perspective. And again, having that juxtaposed against the history of what's happened in this country during the Freedom Rides and things of that nature. Even talk about if you get really into the historical context, that even things that were happening, if you will, during the civil rights movement, and obviously a lot of African Americans were leading the way in that movement, but unfortunately, and King talked about this, some things didn't take place until some white Jewish person was killed at a certain point, and then that's when the country took notice, which doesn't surprise us today in 2024, but that was a reality to even getting notice to some of the movements that African Americans were already doing. I got Brother Pianchi wanting to jump in. Let me get that brother in out of St. Louis. Hey, Brother Pianchi, you live on the air, brother. Give me your 3 cents on this morning's discussion question.
Well, it's a lot of things here. I look on my birth certificate. I don't see where it say I'm a Catholic, a Lutheran. If Judaism is a religion, how is it becomes an ethnic group? in 1995, the head of the ADL, Abraham Foxman, contacted your preachers and told them don't send their congregation, don't let their congregation attend the Million Man March put on in part by many organizations, including Minister Farrakhan. When Theodore Herschel and Balfour came up with this idea of a homeland, it never was a country called Israel. It's made up the name out of a combination of Isis, the god by the Greek, Is, the Canaanite god, El, and the Heliopolis Egyptian god, Ra. That's where it comes from. It's about controlling the voice. She's a voice that's going to disturb the numbers. They're going to get them all roused up. This is an evil government that over there. You know the first place of a return was Uganda. I don't know if you know that or not. But how would it look with a bunch of whites coming into Uganda saying, we're back. Idi Amin trade with the IDF. After he got trained, and after he got what he wanted, he told them to go to hell. So you're dealing with a very, very evil, demonic government. When they brought Ethiopians from Gondor,
so let me ask
Ethiopian
you this real quick,
women,
brother.
Hang on, this
brother,
is very important, real important. Right, this is very important. Right, they right, made the women, the Ethiopian women, they sterilized them and made them get on birth control. Why? Because they didn't want to disrupt their population numbers. So Candace is right. They want to control the voice. You don't see none of your black politicians talking out against them because they want to be a part of the boomerang effect. That is, U.S. aid go there like a boomerang. It comes back around, ends up into the coffers, campaign coffers of your politicians. They control them. That's what it's about.
Let me ask you this question about that control, just to kind of dig into the perspective. And so, because one thing that we do understand, if you will, the Jewish community has a lot of quote unquote power in banking, as well as Hollywood imagery and things of that nature. And I know that part of that power or perspective was based on what they went through at the turn of last century with the persecution that specifically came out of Germany, if you will. And so there was this initiative to gain power with media and things of that nature because they felt that there was a narrative that was pushed that ended up creating the Holocaust. And so with 150 years of positioning themselves to have the control that you're talking about, then as a group, then they naturally overplay that control, even though it was started for their own protections. Groups typically will, if I have extra power here, I'm going to abuse it. It's similar to, was it Laura Acton who made the quote back in 1887, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So I'm kind of just getting into that thought process, Brother Pianki, to ask that this is, if you will, pretty typical of any group getting too much power in a specific area. In this case, we're talking about media control. Is that a fair thought, just kind of putting that perspective on what you're talking about?
It's the things that they use. They use a Bible story, and then they want to apply that to real life. Is it a closed membership? Sammy Davis Jr. was a Jew, right? Whoopi, isn't she Jewish? They ain't born that way. Sammy Davis Jr. was born of a descendant of Africa, a black man. Whoopi, when you look at her, when do religion, those that follow religion, all of a sudden become a not only political, but an ethnic group. Then use Bible stories to bamboozle some with the name. All I ask is start thinking. See, there's some things you have to fight your way out of. Then there's other things you can think your way out of. That's what it's about. Control. Remember Cynthia McKinney there in Georgia? And she ran and they attacked her. Her daddy said, when asked what was the problem, she said the Jews. Her attempting to go back to free Palestine, she got attacked, taking them necessary things for humanitarian reason. She got attacked. Members of IDF lapelled out of helicopters onto the ship and wanted to take control of it she was on. Think. All I ask is that you think.
Hey, appreciate the 3 cents. We are up against the break, Brother Piyaki. Thanks for calling in. Anybody else that wants to jump in, the number is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week bootcamp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second bootcamp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next bootcamp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance, it's a skill that can be developed.
Tell you out of field.
Right.
You never did research on her. You've never sat and talked to her. Obviously, you don't watch her show. You just grab what the headlines grab and you read the comments and they tell you not to like her.
Right. And a part of that, by the way, has a lot to do with illiteracy, which is something that I talk about all the time, because the illiteracy rate in inner cities right now is over 70%. We're talking about over 70% of black boys that can't pass a basic reading exam. That is crazy. That is crazy. Across the United States entirely, 40%. We're at 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So people think that they're going to public schools to get an education. It's the exact opposite. They are slowly making sure that you're never going to be able to have a proper education, and they're going to tell you what to think. That's what they want. They want the ability of a headline, and that's very scary. You know, I talk about what they did on slave plantations, you know, why we weren't allowed to learn how to read, because they knew that if they could control the narrative, then you could be enslaved forever, right? Your mind becomes enslaved when you can't read, when you say, okay, I learned that in a textbook, but let me read this, you know, and actually see what I think. And I think that's intentional. I literally believe that there is an evil intent to re-enslave black Americans, and the ability for us not to read, to me, is everybody should be hitting the alarm on that. Like, why aren't black boys learning how to read and yet being encouraged to make music, to follow hip-hop, to do this, to do that, you know, follow sports? You know, our culture is very much like go into music or go into sports.
Mm-hmm.
We need black scholars. We need black people that are actually aware of what has actually happened to black America, what the true story is outside of what these textbooks are trying to sell.
I agree.
It's very scary to me, the illiteracy rate in black America.
No, I agree with that, because a lot of times when, you know, black people see other black people that are successful, they're in music and athletics, so that's what people gravitate towards.
Right, which guarantees them. That's why they turn these people into such idols. It guarantees more black failure, right? Because here's the truth. What is the actual percentage chance that you have of becoming the next LeBron James? 0%. Let me just tell you, 0% that you're going to be the next. But every black kid, because of the way he's hailed as a hero and they put this, is going to try to be the next LeBron James. They're going to think that they have it, right? So they're going to put their academics second and prioritize, you know, my baby's going to be the next LeBron. Okay, but he probably isn't going to be. What is your chance as a black American of becoming a doctor if you stay in school and pass all the tests? 100%. Right?
Black doctor.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? I don't know why I'm struggling over the question so hard this morning. I'm looking here reading it and just keep reading it wrong. Did Candace Owens get fired for being too black, as you hear her again on The Breakfast Club? Again, I assume for many, hearing her speak differently than a lot of you have probably heard, because our last guest, Shelley Winters, highlighted, and we've been highlighting, that more than likely you've heard her through someone else's lens. Matter of fact, the host from Breakfast Club in that cut was saying the same thing. And so you probably haven't heard her speak that way. And while a lot of what she's saying right there can sound logical, I do want to break some of that down just to give more perspective and more context. Because again, because of Candace Owens' history, there are those who are concerned, is she truly concerned about our community? I have some friends who say she is absolutely not. And so, again, part of what you just heard from their perspective is a grift, a perspective to, quote unquote, seem to be concerned so that she continue getting followers and getting paid. So, again, let me break down some of what I heard in that, because I've been asked to speak to students in schools in the past, and this is where she just left off at in that clip, is one of the main areas I go. Meaning, if I'm going to speak to high school students in particular about their futures, and middle school students as well, I used to be an after school instructor as well, but anytime I'm speaking to students, I am very aware, and we've done a show, too many of our kids focus on sports and music. Like, we've done a show specifically on that. So in those classrooms, I've highlighted that there are about 4,000, a little over 4,000 professional athletes that get paid for a living to play a sport in the entire country. And so I quite often highlight that number, and then I start breaking down how many students play college sports. And that number gets even bigger when you think about how many students play high school sports. And it comes out similar to, as Candace just said, what's your chances of even becoming someone who makes a living in a sport, if you will, or becoming the quote-unquote next LeBron James? It is very minimal, if you will. And so I, too, go into the schools and say those exact same things to give the children some context. And I'll even add to it, and this is a reality too, based on the major sports, and our athletes are getting much better about this now, but of a decade ago, a lot of the athletes will be broke within 2 to 5 years out of leaving their sport based on the sport. Now, baseball, they've always made so much money, those guys never would go broke, really, if you will. Basketball pays a lot more than it used to a decade ago, if you will. And so we're not hearing, or maybe we're just not aware of, but we're not hearing the story of the majority of the athletes. But literally 10 years ago, 80% of professional athletes, black or white, were poor or broke within 2 to 5 years based on the sport. And that was a decade ago. Again, a lot less now, but 80% that's a big number. So anyway, I'm highlighting those numbers. I share them with students to try to give them context. And also long-term, speaking of the athletes being broke, is how engineers, even teachers for that matter, over the course of a career, quite often end up in adulthood with more money than a professional athlete. Because when we started talking professional sports specifically, and music is even less, because very few people have long careers in music, if you will. But we talk about even an athlete that's on the top end that we are aware of, not the minimum players, if you will, but the ones that we are aware of. And especially a decade ago, literally, you're talking about a three-year average. Basketball and baseball longer, but for the most part, you're talking about a 10-year window of a lot of money, if you will, And again, these are the top guys. And if they didn't have any financial literacy or anybody to look out for them, then they would not be in their 40s or in their 50s, someone that literally got into a profession that was needed, whether it's engineering, doctor, lawyer. Again, those are the ones that we highlight, but just any profession, and students can still do this to this day, that is that is needed within the country from any aspect, that 20 years of that profession, a lot of times those people, because they had to build it slowly and learn their financial literacy along the way, they end up with way more money than some of the famous athletes that we've known, and we know those horror stories. So Candace is obviously pointing that out with her example of LeBron James. However, where I would differ from her is when she goes, that perspective is going to create more failure, but she says it from the standpoint of as if there is a design. And if there's a design, then that's where it gets into the conspiratorial aspect of someone is setting it up in a sense to be this way. And I'm not a big fan of the proverbial they, but constantly throughout that dialogue, she starts saying, this is what they want for our black children. I will give this what I consider real life context to why so many of our black children want to be professional athletes and music artists still to this day. Obviously, we dominate those areas, in part to that creative spirit that even Candace highlighted on the Breakfast Club. We are absolutely creative, and we know that, and we thrive in those areas. So clearly we have that stamped in our minds. However, I will connect it to not a quote-unquote they. I will connect it to the historical context of, as a demographic, financially where we've sat in this country pretty much the entire time since we've been here and slowly moved above, obviously our ancestors being here. Plenty of our ancestors, not all, but the majority of our ancestors at one point being brought here via enslavement, and then we obviously breed it into the 13% that we are now. But if I highlight our history, there was basically a lower class in which were represented in, and still to this day, unfortunately, represented in heavily. And so what ends up happening is, if you are in a, not all black people, but if you are in one of those situations where there's not a lot of opportunity around you, or you're not able to see role models that have took another route and be quote unquote successful for whatever that looks like in your child's mind or child's eyes, then what's on the TV is going to be the natural desire. But I don't connect this to a design. I connect it to a marketplace of, as these sports became these huge entities and representation of things that people want to pay their money for, then we do understand this. There's always been a space for a top athlete or a top performer with quote-unquote white audiences. Let's relate that to hip-hop. We still know that white Americans are the biggest buyers of hip-hop, if you will. So let me try to connect the dots here. So with there being a marketplace for top performers in these areas, because, again, we've admitted we dominate and we are creative, and so there's someone willing to pay a lot of money to go to a sporting event or to go to a concert, and so those people naturally get propped up due to the marketplace. That's not someone having a quote-unquote evil design or a they, and I'm not trying to let quote-unquote they off the hook. I'm just highlighting how, yes, I will go into those schools and explain those numbers as well, but I'm not telling these kids there's a day that wants you to focus on this. I just highlight that reality because I understand that when I'm going into one of these quote-unquote dropout factory. Some of the schools are known for that because they don't have high graduation rate that I've been in. And so when I go into a dropout factory, I understand the economics of how this neighborhood was set up 40, 50, 60 years ago based on policies in this country. And knowing that this is just basically a continuation of that, that reality is that, hey, if I don't see a successful role model, then I'm going to look to the TV, and that's what I want to be. That's why I am adamant to support some of our members, like the D'Amico's Chamber, who has the Black Cloud Engineering, and I'll be bringing him on the show soon, because there are so many opportunities that our children just are not exposed to. That is a natural reality without a quote-unquote they being in charge, if you will. Again, that's my perspective on that. For anybody that wants to call in and give us your 3 cents on this morning's discussion, please join me on at 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak for this morning's discussion question. Did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. I got a caller trying to get back in here with me. I'm going to play this one more cut, and I will be getting Leslie out of Toronto back on with us. Let me play this last cut here, and I will get her on with us. We'll be right back.
Her mm-hmm. and people like her, mm-hmm. and they don't recognize those injustices within the community. Like, what's up with that? What responsibility does she have?
First of all,
issues.
All super coons are extremely intelligent. You have to be a super coon. The problem is you're not loyal and you're not politically wise. Because wisdom, if you had integrity, you would never go against your community. So Candace Owens has no integrity. Jesse Lee Peterson, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, the Charles Barkleys of the world, they don't have integrity, but they're very intelligent. She made a decision that aligning myself with conservative white power and racism is going to benefit me over the long haul than aligning myself with black folks. Because there's no black woman out here cooning for the conservative white power base. If I become the lone coon, I will get rich, I will get wealthy, and I will get famous. And because black people don't hold anybody accountable, I don't have to worry about any retribution from my community. Candace Owens is very intelligent, right? But she's a super cool. She knows what she's doing, and she's doing it well. But here's what I would say to Candace Owens, Jesse Lee Peterson, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. White people don't like black people who tend to forget you're not one of them. I can promise you this. I don't know when it's going to happen. And a few of them may escape it, but most of them won't. At some point, white people is going to remind these coons that you're not white and we see you no differently than any other black. Yes, you kiss our backside. Yes, you parrot our talking points. Yes, you intentionally and consistently go against your community for our agenda. But at the end of the day, being white is a privilege, and you're not one of us.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? As you hear Dr. Umar Johnson on the Tony Cowles podcast, Only the Real. And so that was him giving his perspective. I got Leslie out of Toronto, as well as Brother Piyaki, trying to jump back in the show with me. So I'll let Leslie jump on here with us. Thank you, Leslie, for getting in. I see you were trying to get in earlier, so I'm going to go ahead and just let you jump in. I definitely want to talk about some of what Umar said, because, again, we're trying to have these honest and hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. But thank you, Queen, for getting back in with us.
Hey, Montoya, can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear. Go ahead, Queen.
Okay, so I have two things I want to talk about. So, you know, the first one, as much as I respect Candace Owens, the one thing that I don't understand is her support for Kanye West. So, like, when Kanye did his interview with Tucker Carlson, he was loved by the right-wing media. Ben Shapiro supported him. A lot of people, Fox News, were happy with him. But then shortly after that, he started saying some really, really strange things and things that were clearly anti-Semitic. He was on Alex Jones' show, and he said that he likes Hitler. You know, and, like, he says conspiratorial things about Jews, you know, preventing him from being successful. And so, like, I think Kanye West has mental health issues. I think he could possibly be anti-Semitic. And I never quite understood why Candace Owens didn't call him out for the statements that he made. Instead, she just kind of kept quiet and continued to support him. And that part I don't really understand. I don't know why she has such a blanket support for Kanye West. So that's my first comment. So I'll let you
Let me say this real quick to that comment, then that way I can respond to that and then let you get into your next comment. I don't know if you saw the Breakfast Club interview or not with her, but she just highlighted why she supported Kanye the way that she did. I'm not saying it's enough of an answer. I don't know if you've heard it or not. But part of it, which I did respect this, for her, it was a perspective of her being loyal to her friend because they are friends. And she says, you know, it's not that I agree with everything that he says or does, if you will, but she chose to be, if you will, loyal to her friend for some very, I actually respect it once she explained why she chose to be loyal. I'm not talking about whether it's to the statements or not, but I personally respect it. Why she chose to be loyal, but that probably is because I relate to being very loyal to a friend as well. So again, that doesn't necessarily answer. I just don't know if you saw that or not. But go into your next point, if you will.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I get the loyalty, but he said some really foul things. He said some really bizarre things, and you know, it's just I think that was the beginning of where people started to question, what her views are in regards to Jews, given the fact that she supports Kanye West. Given the fact that he has said things that are clearly anti-Semitic. So anyway, that being said, and plus when he was running for president, he had Nick Fuentes, which is a white supremacist, by his side on the Alex Jones interview.
But let's get back to Candace, if we will. Let's get back to Candace, though, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Okay. So the second thing is, like, with the whole Palestinian thing, like, for me, it's not about Muslim versus Jew. Thanks to social media, thanks to Instagram, for the first time ever, we've been able to witness vividly in video, pictures, audios, interviews of what exactly is happening during this war. This is, like I said, this is the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. I saw children being amputated with no anesthesia. I've seen kids being
Let me ask you, Queen, if you don't mind. I'm jumping in. I just want to get it related back to Candace, if you will, because if you understand what I'm saying, like, versus just doing that conversation about that. But if you can, help me relate it back to Candace, if you can.
So Candace, I don't see that what she said wasn't because she loved Muslims versus more than Jews. I believe that what she said was just based on the fact of what was being shown as to what's happening to the Palestinian people. It is horrendous.
Okay,
it
got
is
you.
Absolutely horrendous.
That. Let me jump in.
She said
in,
she's
queen.
Opposed to that, and that's not okay with Ben Shapiro and the Jewish right-wing media.
I got you. So I will say I think some of the context is, and Jay Williams, I don't know if I played it in this cut or whatever, but he highlighted the aspect that two things can be true. And so I think you're actually touching on it to a degree from the standpoint of how you say I don't understand or support for Kanye because he said these specific things. Mm-hmm. Well, from what I understand, there are some things that she said aside from I don't support genocide. And our guest in the first hour, Shelley Winters, pointed this out as well. He was just saying that that's the latest thing that she said, which is a general concept that plenty of people are not in support of, if you will, the, as Shelley said, the over response to what happened on October 7th. So there are a lot of people out there, including Jewish people, right, that are not in support of that. So, yes, she said that. I'm just highlighting that. I don't know if that's the only thing that has pushed her out that has been the latest. And I'm not talking about right or wrong. I'm just highlighting there are even she, when they keep saying how she keeps highlighting, and I don't know enough history when it comes to the drinking of the blood conspiracy. What I do know about that propaganda is that is mostly propaganda, and there's not a lot of fact supporting this idea of the drinking of the blood being something that is actual fact that some people run with. And so that is a conspiracy per se that is absolutely considered anti-Semitic because there doesn't seem to be factual truth behind it. And so when she's liking those comments or mentioning those comments, that where we say two things can be true. So she does have things where she even personally references something such as that, which can be anti-Semitic, but also you can also say, yeah, what's so wrong with her saying I'm not in support of this genocide? So it's almost like two things can be true at once. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, sound like that she has her own individual things in addition, not like a, you know, like almost like a Kanye, but we also can say, hey, I don't know if we want this war to happen. So you see what I'm saying? It's kind of like, so
I
that's mean, part of
and, you
some
know,
of
I had sent
work.
You, I had sent you some of her IG stories where she talked about the thing, the blood thing or whatever. And she said that she didn't hit like because of that. She hit like because Rabbi Shmuley had been accusing her of anti-Semitism for 2 years. And he claimed that she was causing people to come after him. And he put like a screenshot of somebody who was threatening to attack him. And then it was pointed out that screenshot was dated before she had even said anything publicly about Rabbi Shmuley. And she said that's the reason why she hit like on that tweet. So anyway,
I love you giving that context though, because now we're talking about what matters, right? How somebody can be painted, right? Painted a certain way, and so in that situation you just gave me is her explaining herself, and you can understand that, right? Without that context, then you can just run with something, right? And so
totally.
Yeah. So love
what
the fact
what
that,
I will agree.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
what
go ahead.
I will agree with you on is that because she's been saying things in support of Palestine since October. And I was surprised that they didn't fire her last year. So it is kind of suspicious that, like, the day after her Breakfast Club interview is when they finally decided to fire her. Like, that is a bit suspicious. And I do think it probably was because she said, you know, Ben Shapiro can't fire me.
Yeah, I don't imagine that any man who has any level of power would accept that being said publicly on TV, which in that sense, and I agree with, obviously I feel that, you know, I feel like that, to me, trumps everything we're even talking about on this show, if that makes sense. I think that's a personal issue to keep it a being with you. But thank you for calling back in. I got Brother Pianchi wanting to jump back in as well. All right, Brother Pianchi, got you back live on the air. We got a couple of minutes before the next break, but I can keep you on longer if you need to. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, the clock is running. What's said in that other basketball, Tyree, they have a right to say that. You know, the NBA at one time was controlled by Jews. Jewish players, girls, owners, Jewish clubs. I don't know if you knew that or not. And for Omar Johnson to be calling people like Clarence Thomas is a judge. And his responsibility is laid out. This idiot, I call him an idiot, is making these claims. It's just ridiculous. And I don't let my kids listen to him. I don't let my kids listen to Ben Shapiro. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, no, Candace Owens is saying what she needs to say. And it is a lot of history. You know, when you have so many people saying the same thing, all these people can't be lying. You're talking about the blood. And as rabbis, when they say that they're raising $100 million to get rid of duly elected, quote-unquote, black queens, Presley, Talib, Omar, It's the people that voted for them. It's their responsibility to remove them, not a bunch of Jews who's being spurred on by the ADL. So where is your support for your black queens?
You asked that question to us as African-Americans? Is that kind of the question there? I just want to make sure I'm following.
That's a question.
Gotcha.
Everybody's quiet. You know why they're quiet? Because they want the money. They're being bought out. Your leader's being bought out. We asked Danny Davis in Chicago, what do you think about the southern border? Oh, there's room for everybody. They want the money. The aid of U.S. goes there, comes back around, and goes into their pocket. They the gatekeepers. They control you. They want to control. They don't want to get blacks excited and get to thinking on their own, becoming independent. Anti-Semitic is a bunch of crap. I'm not against no languages of the Middle East.
Hey, thank you for your 3 cents, brother. Nah, I love getting you back in. Again, we accept all perspectives, and we'll dialogue about it. Anybody else that wants to get in, 646-787-1691.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro. Like, what did she say? I want to know what she was fired for. Because was it criticism of Israel? Was it, I mean, did she show that Edward Snowden video that he put up on Twitter that shows them
maybe
drone bombing those kids that are, those men, I should say, unarmed people that were walking towards the rubble that clearly weren't causing any danger to anybody?
Yeah, right.
They just bombed them.
Yeah, no, it's your duty. It's just like for Biden or whoever you like, you're supposed to cover up for them. Because
but the whole thing is like they're always saying they're only targeting Hamas and everybody else is a casualty. Well, if those guys are just unarmed civilians and they're walking alone, that's what they appear to be.
Dresden.
And you just blast them from the sky with robots.
This is the tragedy of war.
Yeah, this is insane. And no one knows what to think now, because if you can't talk about that, if you can't say that's real, then you're saying that genocide is okay as long as we're doing it. And
that is what we're saying.
And if you're saying that from a perspective of someone who literally went through the Holocaust, or your people, your tribe, went through the fucking Holocaust, and now you're willing to do it?
I hope the irony's not lost on you.
It's so nuts. It's so hard to imagine that someone where a culture, like a country was like officially founded in, what, 47?
48.
48? Okay. Officially founded. So that's so recent. and you guys are willing to do what was done to you that led you to believe that you needed to start your own country? You're willing to do that at least on a small scale in Gaza. Like, there's nothing left. If you see the videos, let's see some recent footage of Gaza.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? As you hear Joe Rogan on his podcast referencing, saying, hey, what did she get fired for? And giving his perspective on generally what Candace has said and what people feel like she has gotten fired for, which is, if you will, criticism of the Israel-Hamas conflict in general, and she simplifies it down to, I'm not for genocide. She highlights on the Breakfast Club that anyone that's for genocide is typically on the wrong side of history. And you hear Joe Rogan saying, hey, this situation, using the, unfortunately, video of those seemingly innocent walking on the road, Palestinians just being killed by a drone attack, and they were just walking. So it reminds me of the pushback that our country had during the Vietnam War, when it technically became the first war that was televised. So prior to that point, the average American that hadn't fought in a war had never technically seen the horrors of what war entailed. When the media were able to broadcast what was happening in Vietnam, seeing it brought a different perspective. So I can see how that example of seeing those innocent men get killed seemingly for no reason other than they're Palestinians, it adds to the type of pushback that Candace says, hey, I'm not in support of that. And that seems understandable. And so people go, well, dang, how do you get fired for something that is, as Shelley Winters pointed out, our guest in the first hour, is a general opinion that a lot of people have. You can be for that or against it. You don't necessarily have to refer to it as genocide per se. Again, that's a perspective based on how you see it. I'm just highlighting to Shelley's point, when there's, in a sense, two sides, that's not typically considered a radical thought. And so typically, to his point in the first hour, that it is when you have an independent radical thought that doesn't seem to fit into the context of what's generally out there, is when sometimes you typically will maybe get yourself in trouble within the media, within the company that you may work for, and people will say, hey, that was a little too far. And so then people have an understanding of, in a sense, why someone is removed. But to our point, her and Ben Shapiro have been going back and forth in the media for months. And now it comes to this, when she said something that, to Shelley's point, generally speaking, there are a lot of people, regardless of whether you're on the left or right, conservative or liberal, who are saying they don't like what's considered an over response to what happened on October 7th. And you hear Joe Rogan say, hey, look at the Gaza Strip. There's nothing there. And so there's a lot of perspectives, to Shelley's point, where people are emotional on both sides of these things. So it's like, how did something simply as saying, hey, Candace specifically said, I'm not for innocent Palestinians. I'm not for innocent Israel. I'm not in it for innocent children being killed. I'm not for that. And so in a sense, you can almost say it's just someone taking a perspective of, I'm against war. And so how does that get you in trouble? And it gets you in trouble when the owner of your station, a broadcast, disagrees with you and decides to let you go. And Brother Pianchi called in and said, hey, she has a right to say it. And a lot of times, when we say, does somebody have a right to say it, or we think of right to free speech, sometimes we lose the context. And this is not me agreeing with her being let go for it. I'm just adding this context to this conversation. But quite often when we say has a right to say it or free speech, we forget the context of those things are based on what the government can do or cannot do in regards to take away my free speech. The reality will always be, when you work for someone, they can damn near fire you for anything. Again, that doesn't make it right. I'm just highlighting that having a right to say it in a country that applauds itself for free speech seems right. But the reality is, it doesn't matter which political affiliation you have, which station you're on. The reality is, both sides, if you will, misuse their power in this way in what you can or cannot say. And so I go back to the Laura Acton's quote, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I say all of this to say this ends up being an aspect of human conditioning. Let me see if I can put that in context. So when Joe Rogan asks and says, hey, Israel was formed in 1948. This is very recent history. So how can a group that basically formed this history based on its own persecution now in turn return the, right now, seemingly return the favor to another group? And here's a reality, as great as a question as that is, when we ask how can it be done, if you understand and read history and understand human nature, it is often throughout history that all groups getting in a position of power will often repeat the same offenses that were done to them to others. This is not me justifying it. It's me having an honest conversation. Joe Rogan says, how can this happen? Then I can point to plenty of history, whether it's country against country, whether it's religious groups against religious groups, whether it's ethnic cleansing amongst ethnic groups. I can point to, while you look at a scenario that may be happening now to a particular group, it's quite often that if you go through the history of that same group, if there was ever a point or stage within their historical journey, they were in control of a certain area at a particular time. Don't be surprised to see that that very same group that's persecuted now acting out those same transgressions at the point in which they, quote unquote, had the power or they were up. And so the relative context for any group that's being persecuted, this does not, saying this as justification, I'm just highlighting that human nature does not, it's, I will say this, human nature has been so consistent that I'm not surprised that, to Joe Rogan's point, that a country just formed, quote unquote, recently. 1948 is a very new country, if you will. I'm actually not surprised, based on the history and context of history that I've studied, to watch groups ethnically, racially, whatever way you want to separate, where that human nature to get into position and in turn around and exact those same transgressions on the group that may have done it to you in the past, another group that is considered other, right? The other, humans seem to find all kind of ways to other. You don't look like me. You don't study the same religion as me. You don't, you're not politically on the same. And we watch every day on social media how divisive politics, for example, like I made the reference earlier in the show, how I typically don't touch politics and religion because people are so vested in the area that we can't practice what we do best on mental dialogue, hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. I typically avoid politics and religion because people are so vested that you will walk away. I've seen family members start hating one another, even though they grew up with this person, over a political difference as adults. And they grew up, and this is family. And so people get so invested. Practice what I say we do best, which is the art of consideration. We want to hear ideas different than our own. We want to hear why you disagree. I don't have to hear it to agree with you, but I want to understand what has been your life experience for you to think that way. And so even this show, did Candace Owens get fired for being too black? I have members like, why are we even talking about her? We will always be open to the conversations to explore the viewpoints, whether I agree or don't agree. And it's not about me. It's just that's how this platform is run. We like to critically think, and sometimes you cannot do that until you hear a divisive idea that makes no sense, and it makes you see a perspective from another viewpoint. That's always worth the risk. Hope to hear from y'all next Saturday. But all I ask is that you think.